The University of North Carolina presents American Adventure, a study of man in the New World, his values and his characteristics, who he is, what he believes, what he lives by. Written by Johnny Lee, directed by John Clayton, American Adventure is produced and recorded by the Communications Center of the University of North Carolina, Earl Wynn, director.
This is the story of a pioneer, a documented story. We tell it just as it happened. The letters and journals we quote are the letters and journals of the pioneers who wrote them. And we will try to make these people real. This is the story of Eli Lied, a South Carolina planter who wanted to move to the frontier way off in Alabama. But even when he got there, he wasn't satisfied. And before it was done, it was the great Western call that broke his heart and his parents' hearts. Our story begins in South Carolina.
But why you want to go to Alabama, son? You got a plantation, you got your slaves. What's in Alabama you haven't got in South Carolina?
I don't know, except it's new in Alabama. There's something to be built.
You're not a wanderer. You're college educated. You're a gentleman, I saw to that. You're a planter. Now, you've got children and a wife, Eli. You've got responsibilities. You can't just sell out and move to a wilderness.
The Cokers have gone. The DuBoses, Sanders, Wilsons, the Curvins, Pews, Cannons, Calhouns. You can name them yourself. Gone or going to Alabama. And I feel like I'm being left out of it. That I just have to go out there with them and help make something. It's new, that's all. And it's there.
And South Carolina is old?
Old? And there's nothing I can do except reap my harvest and grow old reaping harvests. Look, Pa, your brother's out there at Pleasant Hill. He says the land is good and it's cheap. He says there's a big house some neighbors just left when they came back east. It's there, and you can buy the house.
I've got a house here, Eli.
You can send a foreman out there with some men. I will, too. And they can start clearing the land now. We can get there in time to put in a crop next spring. It won't be hard on the women and the kids that way, will it?
Eli, I have a house, and so have you. I have land, and so have you. Then there's nothing to be said for something new just because it's new.
The women folk, they talked against it. Eli had a sister named Sarah Jane, a widow who owned a third plantation of the Lides. She talked against it, and she could talk, too, mister.
You ain't going, Eli. You and me are Pa's oldest. He's always looked to us, especially you, because you're a man. It'd kill him to be separated from you for the rest of his life. And he can't go with you. You can't expect him to go with you at 65. What does your wife say?
She says the same as everybody says in this family. She says, Eli, you're crazy. You've got something twisted in your mind.
She's right.
Yes, she's right. I've got something twisting, turning in my mind. I wish the good Lord would tell me what he plans to do with me.
Well, sir, Eli was the oldest, and even though his father was 65, he finally said he'd go with him to Alabama. The women folk darn near died on the spot, especially Sister Sarah. But a foreman and men were sent to clear land. The Carolina plantations were sold. 6 months later, the wagons were loaded, the oxen and the horses were hooked up, and the family and their slaves began the 5 to 6 week journey to Alabama. They were as somber a looking group of faces as ever was seen. Eli rode a stallion at the head of the column, his father right beside him. Now his father, he sometimes would look to the right, and sometimes back at the land he knew and the land he was leaving. But Eli was like a thing possessed. He looked only straight ahead. It was as if he didn't see anything except, way off in the distance, tall trees in Alabama. The road that led from Society Hill to Alabama went through Darlington Village, passed through Sparrow's Swamp, Lynch's Creek, and on to Camden and the river there. It went through Aiken and Hamburg, and when the wagons of the Lides rode through Augusta, they saw the steamboats tied up there. And the oxen could do 12 to 18 miles a day, and day after day the wheels turned. The women rode, the men generally walked, and Eli led over the Ogeechee at Fans Bridge, through Buffalo Creek, through the Oconee River at Scott's Ferry, on to Commission Creek, through the Okmulgee River and the Flint and the Chattahoochee. That's the way you went to Alabama. Now, there were no deserts to cross and no ranges of high mountains. The Lides weren't the first settlers to go to Alabama, and the dangers, even in the Indian country, weren't high, except from disease and accidents. But the road was hardly a road at all, and the oxen grew tired earlier every day, and the men and the women and the children did too. Even Eli moved slower. Finally, the journey neared an end, and Sarah Jane, in her journal, lists in her blunt manner the happenings of the last 3 days of the long trip. These are the actual words she wrote.
The 24th, Thursday. Crossed Catumac Creek this morning, then passed over a prairie which was a dreadful bad road. Then crossed the Pink Collie Creek. Dined near an old gentleman's house who was very kind. Invited Pa and Ma to go in and take a cup of warm coffee and gave them some potatoes. Crossed the Tallahassee Creek this evening, which was a pretty bad place. Traveled 17 miles today. The 25th, Friday. A cloudy, gloomy morning with some rain. Crossed Big Swamp. Water pretty deep, but the bottom good. Passed through a little village called Church Hill. Road very rough and hilly. A drizzly day. Traveled about 18 miles. The 26th, Saturday. Weather more favorable. Set out about 5 o'clock this morning. Crossed Old Town Creek. Passed through some long, muddy hills. Then crossed Mush Creek. Passed through Pleasant Hill, and have at length, after a tedious journey of 5 weeks and 2 days, reached our destination. Feel worse than I have done since I left home. Everything seems gloomy and melancholy to me. Oh, how I would rejoice if we were only back in good old Darlington again. Traveled 14 miles today.
Gloomy and melancholy. But just how depressed Sarah Jane and the others must have been, we may guess by what she didn't write in that journal of hers. For the month was December, and in neither of the passages for the 24th, the 25th, nor the 26th, did she mention the word Christmas. But as Sarah Jane was depressed, her brother Eli was elated. The land was deep, the trees were tall, and the streams were full in Alabama. There was room around him, and Eli was as carefree as you ever saw, as if a great weight had been lifted from him. With 1,000 acres of land to be cleared, with houses to build for his own family, livestock to tend, and decisions to make, he nonetheless appeared to have not a care or a worry in the world. But his pa did. His pa had the women folk. And problems aplenty.
You said you wanted to hear this letter before I mailed it, didn't you, Ma?
Is this the letter to your sister Hannah?
To Hannah and Caleb.
Well, go ahead then. I can listen and sew at the same time.
Hannah and Caleb Coker, Society Hill, South Carolina. We are living in Pa's new purchase. The house is far from being comfortable. It's a double house with a narrow passage between. The rooms are small and very open. There are cracks where the joists go in, almost large enough for a dog to go through. But they answer for windows, and we have no others. The loft is nothing but some loose boards laid down and no way to get up but to climb up the logs. We have 2 beds in one room and 3 in the other. Consequently, we have no room for a table on which to eat. So, at mealtimes, we have to take down one of the doors and set it in the passage, which is very uncomfortable in cold or rainy weather. And we've had a good deal of both since we've been here. Pa and Samuel made us 4 tester bedsteads out of little saplings. And since we have put our curtains up, we find it much more comfortable.
That's a fact, Sarah Jane. I simply didn't realize before. You could put up curtains in a house which had no windows, but they do make the walls look better.
Well, let's see, where was I? Since we put our curtains up, we find it much more comfortable. But still, the two decaying, leaky cabins are infested with snakes, lizards, mice, and so forth.
We live in a delightful neighborhood, a kind of village place. Are you listening, Martha?
I suppose I am, Eli.
Well, you've been so quiet.
Thought a man expected his wife to just listen and not talk.
Oh, you can talk if you want to make any suggestions as I go along. It costs 25 cents postage to send a letter to Carolina, and I want to get it just right.
I'm sure you do, Eli.
Well, let me see now. A kind of village place, something like Society Hill. Not quite so dense a population, but far more numerous.
What does that mean, Eli?
Well, it means if all the people who lived round about lived in a town, the town would be bigger than Society Hill.
Not if all the people who live around about Society Hill lived in Society Hill, it wouldn't.
Now, you're going to listen to this letter or are you going to write it?
I'm listening, Eli.
As to the health, from all the information which I can gather, it must be equal to the fields of Chesterfield. The people here say equal to any in the world. Here is natural scenery which is grand and sublime. Now, what are you laughing at?
Law, Eli, I didn't know I lived in a land of Canaan till you told me.
Some days ago, I walked with Paul over some of his beautiful hummocks.
With the mud up to your ankles, you did.
And he said it appeared to him that land could not be any better than this is. He also says he has better prospects before him now than he ever had, and that a man might live here clear and above board. He is fully as pleased with this country as I am. You don't find anything funny about that, Martha?
Seems like you forgot to tell him that Pa's losing most of his corn crop to the grasshoppers.
I might expect Sarah Jane a-wantin' to discourage him from coming out here, but my own wife...
And what do you think Sarah Jane's writing of?
I can guess.
Probably be better if both of you would do away with exaggerating and stick purely to the way things really are.
Honey, I want Hannah and Caleb to come out here. And when you're opposing a woman like Sarah Jane, sometimes a man just handicaps himself by sticking too close to the truth.
If you lived in Pleasant Hill, Alabama in 1835 and 6... and then gone away for several years, you wouldn't have recognized it when you came back through. As time passed, the fields took on a trim and orderly look, instead of being big holes hacked from the sides of the forest. Houses were prosperous. There were three churches and a school. You would notice that the children were growing up, and the babies were children, that the old people were getting very old. James Lyde, for example, was crossing 80. And Eli was changed. But with Eli, it wasn't so much his face or his stature that was different. No, it was something else that the years had done to Eli. His wife noticed it, his children did, and his father did, too. You couldn't help but see it, the way he'd stand watching the wagon trains in the road, winding their way west to the ever-advancing frontier. At night, the way he would watch the fire, just sit there and watch it. It was just a matter of time till he said what was troubling him.
Are you coming to bed or not, Eli?
In a minute, Martha.
If you're through with this coffee cup, I'll take it.
I've just been sitting here looking at the wheels, Martha.
Wheels?
In the fire. Turning wheels. Twisting wheels. I'm 54, Martha.
Eli, what's the matter?
Pretty soon they're going to stop turning for me. Martha, do you love me enough to go to Texas with me?
What you say, Eli?
It's the way the wheels are going, Martha. Traveling on down the road to Texas.
I've seen that look in your eye before, Eli. I saw it in Carolina over 15 years ago. I've seen it many a time of late.
What look is that, honey?
It's a look that sees beyond. It sees beyond me and the children. Eli, you have 2,000 acres here. Some of it worth $50 an acre, you were saying.
That's true, honey.
And good land.
The best. I used to think back in South Carolina it was the good land calling me west. And now I have the land. But it isn't the land doing the main calling at all, Martha. Never was, I guess. Would you go with me?
You'd go without me if I didn't, wouldn't you? You'd look right over me and the children, wouldn't you, Eli?
Martha, don't say that, please.
I know you would. I suppose I ought to dislike you for it.
I don't know what I'd do living apart from you, Martha. Will you go if I decide to?
I don't want to go, Eli. But I stood before a preacher once, and I said I'd stay with you until death parted us. I've had cause to regret saying that, and cause to be glad. But I said it before a preacher, and before God I said it, and I reckon God expects me to keep my word in South Carolina or in Alabama. And I reckon God is even in Texas.
I declare, honey, that's what I love about you.
What's that?
I don't know what it is, but I'd sure be a poor man without it.
When are you going to talk to your parents?
Well, right soon.
Expect you'll be having words with Sarah Jane, too.
Yes, I reckon so.
I guess I'll get this broken coffee pot up.
Honey, why'd you ever marry a roving man like me?
I'll tell you why. Because back in Carolina, where I first knew you, I saw you to be a giant of a man who could go up and stand in the middle of 1,000 acres of cleared lands with slaves and houses and full barns, and it wasn't big enough for you.
Texas?
Eli, ain't Alabama close enough to the end of the earth for you?
Not anymore, Ma.
You brought us out here, Eli. You're the one who got us to leave Carolina. And now you want us to go to Texas? If I had my way, you'd be taken out and horsewhipped.
All right, Sarah Jane, I've done heard your mouth enough to be able to estimate your opinion on any subject, and surely on this one. Now be quiet.
Pa!
I'm glad I come to Alabama, Eli. But I'll tell you the reason I come. Not because I like the idea of the West. You know yourself, I made Caleb promise never to come West before I'd give Hannah permission to marry him.
I know, Pa.
I talked so hard against the West then that even I haven't been able to talk him into breaking his promise and coming on out here in all these 14, 15 years.
I know, Pa.
So it wasn't the West calling me. Like some folks say. It was because you come to me just like now and you said, Pa, I'm going West. And you're my oldest. And in some ways, you're my best.
Pa, look, you're just talking yourself into something that doesn't apply.
It does apply. I come here to keep my family with you. I was 65, Eli, but I moved. Your ma's probably here for much the same reason, if the truth was known. Even Sarah Jane is probably here because she couldn't stand being separated from the one man she's had to argue with since her husband died.
Pa, I never...
Be quiet, honey. But I can't go further west. I'm 83, and this time I just ain't leaving.
You've built something here, son. You've built a town. You probably more than any man around. You've got hundreds of acres of land an axe has never even touched.
But you see, it's done. It's finished here, except for the polishing and the wearing away. The call is out there.
Call? What sort of call do you reckon it is that would take a man from his parents?
Now, Paul.
I have heard of men getting a call to preach the gospel. Even the Lord said to leave your parents when you go out to preach. But there's nothing in God's word about leaving them in their old age after having drug them across the country. Not for a call which has no meaning to anybody and benefits nothing.
James! James, please don't get so excited.
What's the matter with you, Eli? What's eating at you?
I don't have to tell you that, Pa. A man doesn't have to tell another man what there is in moving on. Maybe now you don't want me to go, so you don't want to recognize it.
I'll tell you what I recognize, Eli. I can see it clearly. I recognize your duty. To your wife and kids, and to your ma, and me. No, I ain't too proud to tell you that I need you with me. Now, to tell you that I think you ought to stay, you're educated. You're not a tramp to be marching through the woods all your life. And if you go, you'll go without my blessing.
Pa, it's going to hurt me. It's going to about drive me crazy, but I have no choice. No choice at all. I'm moving on. I know you can't come with me, but I'm moving on. And I don't want to go without at least your forgiveness.
You ask us to forgive an act you haven't done, knowing you're going to do it?
Yes, sir. I'm asking.
All right. No use leaving you with a curse on your head. You're going anyway.
Son.
Yes, Ma.
Why?
I don't know why, exactly. You tell me. You born me. You born a baby boy, and he grew up to be a man. And I don't know why, Ma, any more than you do. Except there's a call. And there's a road.
In April of 1854, 18 years after he'd arrived in Alabama, Eli's wagons began rolling toward Texas with his family and his slaves. And on the 15th of April from Coffeyville, Alabama, he wrote a letter to his parents, which has been preserved to our day.
This day I am 58 years old. And for 58 years have my kind and affectionate parents nourished, strengthened, and advised me in every good thing. And that at last I should have pained them by my ingratitude in leaving them in their old age is a thought that almost breaks my heart. But I hope, my dear father and mother, I'm not ungrateful to you. For all the kindness to me, tears of gratitude can now flow in unrestrained silence, when there's none to criticize my sincerity or impugn my motive. I often think, how can I do without my father and mother? I cannot. I cannot do without them, yet something within me whispers onward, onward, and urges me on like a prisoner who has been 58 years and idles in his Lord's vineyard and has lived on his bounty and has made no return for the favors he's received. Abraham's case is often applied to me as I travel along the wearisome road. And often does the desire arise in my heart to know what the Lord intends to do with me. It's now 11 o'clock at night, and the family have retired long since. And there's nothing to break the silence of the night but the wind rustling in the trees and the rain pattering upon the tent. Give my kindest regards to all my friends and relatives. Eli H. Lyde.
American Adventure is written by John Ely, directed by John Clayton, produced by the Communication Center of the University of North Carolina. American Adventure is a study of man in the New World, his values and his characteristics, who he is, what he believes. The series is made possible by the National Association of Educational Broadcasters and the Fund for Adult Education, an independent agency established by the Ford Foundation. Letters and journals of the Lyde family have been edited by Fletcher Green in a small book published by the University of South Carolina Press. Dr. Green's book is entitled, The Lydes Go South and West. In the pioneer call, Charles Kuralt was Eli, John Ely the father, Fran O'Neill the sister, and Josephine Sharkey the mother, Carl Castle speaking. American Adventure is produced and recorded by the University of North Carolina on the campus at Chapel Hill.